You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I hate it when islands tip over because you have too many people on them.
You know, we plan for a lot of contingencies in the military. That's not one of them.
Uh-oh.
Sam, can you play that again? This is an actual congressman.
Yeah.
The first speaker you're going to hear. And I believe he's from Georgia or Texas, one of the two.
I believe Georgia.
And then I think it was an admiral, or it was a general, or it was a flag officer who's sitting at the table and, first of all, has many, many duties at that very moment. Number one is not to laugh at this idiot. Number two is to respond to this idiot in a way that's not insulting. And go ahead.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
We don't anticipate that.
Man, what a diplomatic response.
We don't anticipate, leaving open the possibility that, Congressman, you're right, it might.
Representative Hank Johnson.
That's right.
From Georgia.
Democracy in action, ladies and gentlemen.
This was like 16, 17 years ago now.
Was it that long? Because yeah. I was doing this show when he did that.
What was the one where there's a guy on the air and he goes, show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T. You hear that one? I think it was like Al Sharpton or something.
Yeah, so.
R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
Former Georgia Representative Johnson, not too familiar with how not just islands, but Guam is built.
And the reason that there was an officer there at the table was the people that they were talking about adding to Guam were more military personnel.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was Navy. There's a Navy base at Guam, isn't there?
There is. Okay. Yeah, there's a military presence there.
And by the way, that particular congressperson, still in office.
Oh, is he?
Yes, he is still in office.
Yep. Oh, boy.
Still worried about Guam capsizing.
Did he correct himself? Is there a clip of that?
Now, to be fair about his thought process,
there is no fairness. There is.
Wait, let's see where this goes.
There's no justifying. But go ahead.
We are going to see where it goes. But one of the greatest misunderstandings about journalism is that there are two sides to every story. Sometimes there is not a second side.
Uh-huh. To be fair. Guam does happen to sit on the edge of the Mariana Trench. Okay. Maybe he doesn't understand how the Earth works.
Do you really think that was what was in his brain why he was making that comment? Well, I'm worried about the Mariana Trench.
Just trying to, I don't know.
What did his brain sound like?
That was his inner monologue.
Well, I'm worried about that Mariana Trench.
We don't anticipate that.
Is he Bill Clinton inside his head?
Oh, yeah. It's one of the funniest clips of all time. Facebook and Instagram have been down because of some widespread outages. What is going on with the internets?
That would be your AI data centers going down.
Because we had some issues here in the building for 2 days this week, Wednesday and Thursday.
Well, that's different.
Why is that different? I don't understand this stuff.
Wait, we're trying to explain computers.
Was the internet sinking? We're flipping over?
The internet is... Yeah, it's capsizing into the Mariana Trench, specifically here in Kansas City. No, Spectrum having broadband issues is not related to the cloud system shutting down at Meta, which was causing outages of Instagram and Facebook.
Hmm. Yeah, there was a widespread Facebook
influencers everywhere were in a panic.
Running around the street.
How am I going to film my waking up routine today?
Influencers in a panic? No, the people that scroll 8 hours a day were in a panic.
How am I going to film myself and let the world see me yawning as I wake up?
You're damn right I was.
I know you were.
It was all the boomers and Gen Xers on Facebook.
How else are you going to see the same videos over and over again?
They're not going to go to YouTube to get facts.
They're not the same.
Guess I'm going to have to go to YouTube to get my funny cat videos.
How many states only border one other state?
One.
Which one is it?
It's Maine. Where did I learn that? Right here.
Old man scrolling.
Which state doesn't border any state?
There are several.
Alaska? What?
Alaska doesn't border any other state. And Hawaii doesn't border any other state.
That would be two.
That is correct.
All right.
I can't stand you guys.
FanFest, by the way, right now is empty.
By the way, but that
Much nicer today, too, weather.
Are you watching Fox 4 in there?
Yeah.
That red-shaped, gigantic heart entrance is really cool.
Super cool looking.
The selfie heart?
It looks like a heart-shaped hamster wheel.
Yeah, it does.
Dear God, start reading a story. This is going downhill fast.
I think it's really cool. It is just in the middle of the afternoon, but we are having
people are still working.
The USA Paraguay match being shown. Mm-hmm.
That's
there.
At 8 o'clock tonight.
And then Tech N9ne, the opening concert.
Is he tonight?
Yes, he is.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah, he's doing the opening here and then the closing in a month.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
One man's trash is also his treasure.
Oh, I can't wait for this.
A fast-acting Ohio gambler turned his luck around diving into a dumpster to retrieve a $100,000 winning lottery ticket that he had accidentally thrown out. The resident of Willard, Ohio, was horrified when he realized he had tossed a jackpot-winning scratch-off into the garbage, especially because the trash had already been taken out.
No.
He ended up having to dumpster dive to retrieve it. It was definitely worth it because he said it was a $100,000 winner.
Oh, yeah.
What's the amount you'd be willing to dumpster dive for?
20 bucks is 20 bucks.
I'd definitely dumpster dive for 100 grand.
The only time I dumpster dived was when I threw my retainer away accidentally in third grade and I had to go out to the garbage in the lunch garbage behind the building.
How did you throw your retainer away?
I set it on my lunch tray. I had to take it out to eat, and then I accidentally tossed it with the rest of my lunch. That was a miserable experience.
Please do not tell me that you then washed it and continued using it.
This is
retainer.
Back when they had like powdered soap at the school bathroom. You guys remember the powdered soap?
No.
What?
No.
They had powdered soap. It was like a dispenser, just like any other soap dispenser, but it kicked out powdered soap. And I scrubbed my retainer with that, and yes, I did put it back.
The only powder in my high school.
I'm still alive today, Sam.
What did you say, Dan?
Nothing.
Why wouldn't you take it? Just leave it in your backpack, take it home, brush it with toothpaste, and then I think it might be.
You know, let me go back in time and ask my 8-year-old self.
Okay. By the way,
that does sound like an 8-year-old decision, though, for sure.
After taxes, he got $73,250.
Still worth it.
Yeah, I would dumpster dive for 100 grand.
I would. I would. Not the candy bar, the payout.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he was going for the 100 grand. I'm sure he was dumpster diving for something else. Like food.
Well, he bought it at a Circle K gas station. It's not like he didn't have some kind.
Oh, he threw the ticket in the trash.
Yes, so he was at, he went
sorry,
to
sorry, let
a,
me start paying attention. My apologies.
That's okay. That's all right.
Welcome to the show there, Sam.
You remind me of Mr. Art's math class in 12th grade. That's fine. He went into the Circle K in Willard, Ohio. He buys a scratch-off ticket, probably some other stuff, would be my guess, because he's throwing, so you don't just go over to throw away a winning lottery ticket.
Right.
And he scratches off the ticket. It's a winner. Okay? So he probably had, like, a hot dog with the container. They come in. Maybe a bag of chips. I don't know. I don't know if he had time. And he went to go throw some stuff away, realizing right after it went in, oh, my God. Or let me rephrase. He threw them out into a trash can outside of the gas station.
And left.
Then realized, oh, my God, where's the $100,000 ticket?
Mm-hmm.
Realized, oh, my God, I must have thrown it away with everything else I came outside with. Goes back to the gas station. The trash is empty. Where's the trash? Oh, we put it in the dumpster.
Panic
sets in. He goes and dives into the dumpster and just starts opening bags.
I would not only dumpster dive, I would take every single bag out of that dumpster until I found that 100 grand.
Mm-hmm.
Amen to that. Commander Jesse Reed, Sam Stevie III. We have Festivus Friday, the airing of the grievances, coming up at 5 o'clock. You always get the honorary first grievance
okay,
of the
I'm
week.
Thinking.
Okay. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
The number of people chiming in on the text line saying that they had to fish their retainer out of the trash at school. Jesse, you are not alone.
We should start a support group.
One of them said it was at their barracks mess hall.
I was so deathly afraid because I knew this was at a time I was growing up. I won't go into details, but you know.
Please do.
Well, it was a time in my life. My mom was raising us. It was just me and my brother. He was sick growing up. My brother had childhood leukemia. So my mom was raising us on our own, working multiple jobs. And I knew even as a third grader what it cost her to go get me a retainer. And I felt devastated that I had thrown this thing in the trash.
Scott never had a retainer. Clearly, I did. That's why my bottom teeth are very crooked. And I just showed Jesse my bottom teeth. I had a retainer when I was, I don't know, 8, 9. Hated it with a passion uncontested.
Yeah.
And at night, my mom would always make sure that I had my retainer in my mouth. And I would show her, you know, here it is. And she's going, "All right, time to go to bed." I would go to bed and wait for a few minutes. And then I would take it out and tuck it under my pillow. When it was morning, I would wake up, put it back in, leave it in long enough to go to school, and put it in my backpack.
I chewed through mine. I have $4,000 crooked teeth because I chewed through my retainers, and it was going to be $900 to get a new set.
Like, you chewed through it at night while you're sleeping, or yep. You just, okay.
Are you a teeth grinder?
Horrible. I was. Not so much anymore.
I am as well. I actually wear a mouth guard at night.
I tried the mouth guard. I could not keep it in.
Yeah. A little rubber one, the dentist gives. Which, by the way, it's a little piece of rubber, and it costs like $300.
Is that a fact?
That is an absolute fact. I don't know why it costs so much money. I feel like I could have gone to Walmart and got a football mouthpiece and just melted, you know. Did you ever wear those mouthpieces?
Yeah, where you boil it.
Yeah,
it molded to your teeth.
Yeah, it's
to
$5.
So I refused to do the $300 mouth guard. I went the football mouthpiece route and woke up. I tried it for about 6 months. And
did you choke
probably
on it?
95% of the mornings I woke up with it stuck to my back.
You told this story the other day, yep. and I was trying to get the visual as you were explaining it. How did it get stuck to your back? I could see where you were might have been sleeping on it, but how did it get stuck to your back?
I would spit it out, and then I don't toss
what
and turn
are you
a
doing
whole lot
at night. I was
in
gonna
my
say.
Sleep, but I would toss and turn enough that it would make its way down to my back. And then I'd wake up in the morning and go, you know, take my morning constitutional and be like, what is, oh my God, it's still stuck to my back. Yeah.
Was it affixed with spit or with sweat?
Yeah, how was it sticking?
I didn't pull
just
it off.
Just hadn't washed the sheets in a while?
Do a chemical test of what was sticking it to my back.
Okay. By the way, and I know we talked about this in the last segment, I'm not poo-pooing it. But Fox 4 needs to find some new angles at FanFest. They're not doing FanFest any favors right now.
Yeah.
So
here's an open field.
Whoever is running the show at Fox 4 producing these live broadcasts from FanFest downtown need to find a new place to broadcast from. Because they just had their reporter standing by the kid inflatable jumping things, whatever they're called.
No one
Bouncy House.
Kind of the bouncy houses, yeah. There wasn't a single person there.
Yeah.
No one. And then they go back to the anchors, Lauren Halifax and whoever the dude is. And
John Holt?
I don't think it was John Holt. Not today.
Oh.
I know John Holt well.
Legend.
He is. But there was no one behind them. I think there was one guy standing next to a trash can. And that was it.
Not a good look.
It is not.
I'm hoping it packs out for Tech 9 tonight, though.
Do you think
cool. Oh, yeah, it will.
Do you think the high cost of the beverages and the concessions and all that is driving people away?
I was talking to Dan about it. I think it's the convenience.
Just getting down there is a pain.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
I mean, we are Kansas Citians. We like our cars. We like our parking mm-hmm. lots. Mm-hmm. We like our street parking. You mean to tell me that I need to drive to a random parking lot to pay someone to get on a bus that might not even be there when I'm ready to be taken to the fan fest, to then wait for however long that takes, to then go stand in line, to then pay $18 for a beer?
Sam, tell everybody what's on the screen right now.
A lot of grass.
Yeah.
Now, on the text line, they said it just opened at 4 p.m. today.
Well, that's fine, but if it's so great... Was there a line?
Wouldn't it have been open?
Tech 9 is performing tonight.
Yeah.
But wouldn't it have been open for the game? I thought they did watch parties for the game.
And yeah, I'm not Canada convinced. I'm not convinced. It was Canada and the Bahamas.
Right.
I'm not convinced that it just opened at 4 o'clock. I find that hard to believe.
Where's our FanFest correspondent?
Somebody says FanFest isn't open to the public yet. Well, the people walking behind this Kilbury and Lauren Halifax, they sure look like regular people to me.
They don't look like law enforcement.
4 p.m. to midnight today.
Okay.
So no watch party for Canada. Sorry.
Huh. All right.
So there you go. There you have it. It'll fill up.
I hope so.
Look at us being Nelly naysayers.
Well, no, we're reporting the facts. I want this to succeed like nothing else. You know, I want there to be this, you know, pulse of soccer for the next month in Kansas City, and I'm hoping we're going to see it. Disappointed the Americans aren't playing here. England's not playing here, just practicing and staying. Germany's not coming to town. I mean, some of the biggest names in soccer are not here. Now, granted, the biggest one is.
Yeah, he's staying here.
Yeah, that's what I meant. This is from Kennywood, Fox News. Kennywood, a nearly 130-year-old amusement park outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, is tightening its summer chaperone policy as parks around the country experience violent brawls and unruly teen crowds heading into the heart of the season. The popular Pennsylvania amusement venue said guests ages 15 and under must now be accompanied by a parent, a guardian, or other supervising adult during all operating hours effective today. The move follows several high-profile incidents at amusement parks in recent weeks, including Six Flags St. Louis on opening day, when multiple brawls involving as many as 100 people prompted a police response and forced the park to close early. Kennywood's news also follows the opening day brawl at Hershey Park in Pennsylvania, in which 55 people, including 52 minors and three young adults, 18, 18, and 19, were charged after a large fight broke out on April 3rd. I'm not a naysayer. You're going to have to up that 15-year-old policy that 15 and under have to be accompanied by an adult.
Yeah.
I bet your biggest troublemakers are 16, 17, and 18.
Exactly, yeah. Now, Worlds of Fun did it right. Worlds of Fun finally cracked down. And I say finally because, quite frankly, the problem was escalating for quite a while. Also, can I just say that I love the fact that we're now branding teens being bad people? Teens being bad people is not new to 2026. Maybe it is new that they're all getting together on the internet and deciding where they're going to go be bad people. But there were large crowds of people causing problems at Worlds of Fun when I was going there in grade school. We would go in the summer. We had season passes. Worlds of Fun was kind of our babysitter. We always, you know, minded our P's and Q's. But there were a number of times where things got a little bit sketchy. And now we have proper branding for it. It makes me worry, though, about what that means for Kansas City and the summer events in Kansas City. And are we prepared for it after what we saw at Downtown Days?
Hmm. And that was a shame. Well, that was it last week or this week?
Tuesday.
It was Tuesday of this week, yeah. That is such a shame. And you're right, Sam, and I'm going to grant you this one. The idea of unruly kids is not exclusive to 2026. It's just not. But I don't recall, and this is not a back in my day, yeah. But when Brenniger and I and our friends would go to Worlds of Fun, you know, in the summer of 89, 88, there was nobody causing trouble. Everybody just wanted to get on the Orient Express and walk around and, you know, look at cute high school girls. That was the reason we went.
I feel like when I was growing up, the mischievous behavior we got in was usually to embarrass one of our friends. I just felt like maybe it was a little more good-natured. But the assaulting people, we weren't doing that.
But I go back to my original point. You want to stop it, you're going to have to put a better age policy on it. Because it ain't the 12-year-olds doing the trouble.
And Worlds of Fun, when I say they crack down, I have heard stories of if you are under the age threshold or even remotely look like you're under that age threshold, you better have your ID on you because one of the employees will walk up to you and say, "Where is your chaperone?" Mm-hmm. And if you can't identify them and get them to you very quickly, you get to wait until they arrive outside the park.
Mm. Wow.
You got to crack down on it. I don't know what we're going to do in places like the Plaza, Zona Rosa.
Yeah, I don't think that's the answer because then I don't like this because I'll go to Worlds of Fun. My kids are old enough now. They're still minors. I got a 15-year-old and a 13-year-old, but I trust them if I go set up shop somewhere to let them run off to a ride or something like that on their own without me just following them around. But then what? They're going to get pulled over or accosted by somebody there and say, hey, where's your guardian?
Well, I mean, the bad ones ruin it for us all, right?
Yeah.
Well, I was getting in trouble because my friends and I were going there. Our parents would drop us off and they'd be like, where's your parents? We're not causing problems.
I think the answer is consequences. And it's not just like having a parent there. It's like, no, the kids need to learn that, like, when you act like that, you don't get to come back ever.
But Sam, it's fair what you just said, you know, where are your parents? Well, I'm not causing problems. Well, that's fine. But if you wait till somebody does, they have no guarantee you're not going to cause a problem. And once you do, it's too late.
No, you're right. I don't know what the solution is.
That's not a form of deterrence. So to me, to stop people's bad behavior, all you're going to do is stop them from behaving badly at Worlds of Fun. At a societal level, you have to have deterrence, which is, hey, if you're going to do this, guess what? You're going to go to spend a night in juvie or go to jail or whatever.
You're going to be punished.
Yes.
But ask Sam what happened to the teens who caused the problem.
I already know what happened. Nothing happened to them. They got handed over to their parents.
That's
who
exactly
probably,
right.
I don't want to speak for all of them, but some of them probably, the reason the kids are doing this is because they're not paying attention in the first place.
913-586-7798. 913-586-7798. Here on Dana and Parks. Tell me if you cats agree with this. From 2713, the problem is none of these kids are afraid of their parents. And what repercussions they will have when they get home? Nil. If the parents were parenting, this wouldn't be a problem.
Yep, we were on the break and Sam and I were talking about this. The parents are the first line of defense. But after you get past that, you have to protect society in some other way, which is the second line of defense, which is law enforcement.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about an amusement park. It's an old one, 130 years old, which means it was built in 1894, is tightening its summer chaperone policy as parks around the country are experiencing violent brawls and unruly teen crowds heading into the heart of the season. So what they did at Kennywood is they created a new policy effective today that any guest 15 and under must be accompanied by a parent or a guardian or other supervising adult. My argument is it's not the 13-year-olds and 14-year-olds you need to worry about. Now, they might get involved after something gets started. But I would bet if you were to really look at, and I don't know how you would assess all this information, age demographics, that at the bulk of these, whether it was St. Louis and their Six Flags, or the Lee's Summit downtown days, all these events where there is bad behavior that erupts and becomes a serious problem. Sure, it might involve some 13 and 14-year-old kids who get involved after a 16, 17, or 18-year-old kid starts trouble. And they are young, they're impressionable, and they want to be part of the action. But I doubt a 14-year-old is throwing the first punch.
The example that I'm going to go to, my own personal example, is I think about my time in high school. I saw in all my years of high school, I think I saw a very small handful of fights occur on the school premises. And as soon as they even started, there was a massive football coach that would materialize out of somewhere, like say if it happened at lunch,
and
had somebody in a headlock.
Yeah.
One of the kids. And so fighting was rare because you knew immediately you were going to be swarmed upon by authority.
But to your example, and it was the same way when I was going to school, was one of the coaches just appeared out of nowhere and would pull the kids apart.
Yeah.
Right. But talk to any teacher today.
They don't get involved.
They don't get involved for two reasons, their own personal safety, and they're not allowed to touch the kids.
Yeah. So same high school that I graduated to, one of my kids goes to now, and they say there's fights every week.
Every week.
Mm-hmm. And everyone just kind of sits and steps aside and waits for the student resource officer to show up if there's one at the school or nearby. I think it's just there's less of a fear of consequences and authority. There's less of a respect for that. And I'm not trying to sound like you either, like, oh, when I was a kid, I'm not trying to do that.
Well, but things have changed.
Yeah. And in this area, it's not for the better.
Go ahead, Sam.
And things have changed even in the last 10, 15 years. I mean, it's not back in my day. It was not that long ago that we actually feared the consequences of our parents.
I did. Chris on I-29. Hello.
I just wanted to weigh in on this. A good two-parent family dynamic that includes a strong father to discipline the children and a strong mother to love the children. That's the answer.
Okay. Can the father not love the child too?
No. I mean, to his point, I think it's...
I don't think it's a bad one, but I mean, my two daughters grew up in a divided home. And Shonda just got remarried.
They still had a father figure in their life.
They did, but I wasn't there every night.
Yeah.
You know, looking over them and telling them, hey, you're going to do this. 913-586-7798, 586-7798. If you want to weigh in on the text line, it is the exact same number. Just text it in at your convenience. Okay, as a law enforcement officer, juveniles get away with everything excluding a dangerous felony. Unfortunately, parents are the biggest issues, and the system doesn't have enough resources to raise people's kids who aren't willing or unable to do it for themselves. Let's go to Bev in Independence. Hello, Bev.
Hey. Hi. I think it was the government when they stepped in years ago and said you couldn't touch Johnny and Julie because you might hurt them. That took away the discipline from the parents. That was the start. Then they took it out of the school. And by golly, when your parent came home and found you kissing your boyfriend and that parent yanked you up by the arm and you happen to have one little bruise on you, you go to school the next day. Within 24 hours, you've got the government standing at your door wanting to take your child away from you for abuse. This is all the government's fault. It's their errors. This is where we are today. No kids will take care of authority.
And Bev,
they don't believe in it.
Bev, to add on to that, thank you. I couldn't agree more. To add on to that, you have parents even that will go the extra mile when their kids do misbehave at school, rather than the kid fearing, oh, now my parents know that I misbehaved at school because they got a call from the school. A lot of these parents are calling the school and going, how dare you, you know, my kid's perfect. I mean, if I would have got a call from the school or my parents would have about me doing something, I would have expected massive consequences when I walked in the door.
Double punishment when you got home.
They would have said the teacher or the school, thank you so much for telling me that. We got this. We're going to handle it.
I think that's fair. And I have a number of friends who are in education, and the Guam has flipped, so to speak, to go back to the beginning
it's
of the
sinking.
Hour. Guam has flipped. And I know for a fact when I was a kid, it was rare that I got into trouble, but if it wasn't, well, you're a perfect kid. This can't be true. It was, what did you do?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they believed the other adult who said, I saw Scott doing this, or Scott did this, and you need to be aware of it. It wasn't, oh, let's go talk to them and try to figure this out. No. What did you do? And why did you do it? And now it's, to your point, and I'm echoing it a bit, you have to be a bad teacher or a bad administrator. My child doesn't do that stuff. Well, that's not true. Your child is not an angel. They're not perfect. And kids do bad things. It's that simple.
From the text line, I know a teacher who had a problem student. They called the mom to come and get the student. The mom said, it's not my problem. It's your time. It's your problem.
Yeah, wrong answer. If that's the attitude in mass, we're in trouble.
Well, and I hear the argument about the strong father figure, whatever. I had a single mother. It's about care. Are they caring? Mm. Are the parents caring? Because if your parent cares about the outcome of you and dedicates that time to you, and I'm not trying to make a sweeping statement saying that parents don't care, but if you really sit down and look at the brass tacks of the problem students, the problem kids, a lot of times it's because there's not a whole lot of dedication to the outcome of that student, and so they then treat society with the same level of care, which is not enough.
Now, did your single mom, and I have the same experience, Sam, up to a certain, until my mom remarried, and essentially when she remarried, that guy became my dad at a young age. But before that, she had to kind of act like the father figure too.
Oh, yeah.
She had to, in many ways, take on that masculine role in a lot of way. And I mean, I lived in fear during those days of of getting on her wrong side, the same way you would say, wait till your father gets home. And you know, if there, and I was a pretty good kid, I didn't really get in trouble, but you know, I definitely stayed in line. Part of that was a healthy fear of my mom at a young age, rightly so. I'm not, and I think it was the right thing to do.
And I love my father. I idolized him. You know, he was my hero, always was.
Yeah.
But I feared him.
Oh yeah.
And my mother would, I heard that many times, wait until your father gets home. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, oh, Dad, please work late tonight.
That's like the worst suspense. That's worse than like a suspense mystery movie.
913-586-7798. 586-7798. We got Festivus coming your way in 14 minutes here on Dana and Parks. Commander Jesse Reed, filling in for Dana Wright. Thank you in advance, my good friend. Always good to have you in.
Glad to be here.
Sam Stevie III. My name's Scott. We have Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news. Jenny in Olathe. Jenny, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm calling about what you've been talking about with the kids and the students. I have a cousin who is a teacher in an elementary school and several friends that are teachers in middle schools. And they have to be very creative in how they discipline their kids because, like some of your callers and Jesse Reed has said, they can't discipline the kids. If they do discipline the kids, the parents will call the school and complain. So my cousin has to have like a fun Friday where they basically have an extra recess in the afternoon. And if they get all of their work done and have good behavior throughout the week, then they get that extra recess. And if they don't, they have like a packet of work that they have to do. And all of my friends have different little things like that that they do to try to motivate good behavior. But I think it's sad. I have two teenage boys and, you know, we've just tried to make sure that they're, you know, good kids because we, you know, we need teachers.
Well, amen to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did either of you have a parent who had a very unique punishment? I had totally forgotten about this until Jenny was talking. Not a wooden spoon or go pick your switch or leather belt or you know, go stand in the corner or something like that. I mean, something that you're just like, how'd you come up with that?
Boy, you named off a couple of the ones already, so.
Here's one that I remember, and she discontinued it after a while, but it was effective, I'll tell you that. When I would get in trouble, my mom would grab one of the wooden chairs from the dining room, and she would put it in the corner. And I would have to sit, I'd have to put both of my hands underneath my thighs and sit on them. And it wasn't painful. That was not the point. And she would just sit there and watch, you know, maybe cook dinner and poke her head around the corner. And I had to have my hands firmly underneath my thighs. And the whole point was my hands fell asleep.
Oh.
And then when they had finally fallen asleep, you take them out and it feels like little needles are going in your hand. It's tingly.
That was the point?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the point was so you'd stopped acting out.
Well, that too.
mine was the stair. I had to go sit on the stair.
One stair?
Well,
not
I
multiple.
Mean, it was a flight of stairs. I guess I could have moved to different stairs throughout my time out, but yeah, I had to sit on the stair. And then my mom's biggest one was, and you can probably imagine by my personality, I don't like being ignored. And so she found out very quickly that the greatest way to punish me would to just not acknowledge what I was saying to her.
Interesting.
And it would, I'd apologize for anything after about 5 minutes.
There was a belt involved, but it never touched me. But it would be looped into a loop and snapped. Mm-hmm. And that
like a whip
sent me running.
Mine with my youngest daughter, I wish I'd figured this out when Sarah was younger, was when Maya would do something I didn't like, I would send her to her room. And she had a big fluffy chair in the room. And I would go and sit down and I would say, do you think this is a 30-minute lecture or a 60? And I would lecture. I would just talk. I wouldn't even lecture. I would just talk about, you know, World Cup's in town, and you know the United States is playing Paraguay tonight at 8 o'clock. And I would just talk until she couldn't take it anymore.
I came up with a unique punishment for our son. I had been doing some yard work and clearing out some brush in the front, and it was all piled up. And he happened to lie to us, and he was caught. And so it was like, okay, this is your punishment. He was like eighth grade, ninth grade. You're going out there, and you're going to clear that brush out. Well, they were brambles, and they had stickers and thorns and everything. Gave him gloves, of course.
Well, thank God.
Yeah, but that's your punishment, to go out there and deal with the briars.
Huh. Okay.
There was a little bit of psychological warfare in my house when I was younger enough to, and dumb enough to fall for it. Like fake calls to the police. And well,
fake
we're gonna
calls
have
to the police?
Yeah, I broke a window once when I was a kid, and I was scared, and I lied about it. And then my parents immediately knew that I was lying about it. And so rather than going, "You're lying to us," they got on the phone and had a fake conversation with the police about coming out and investigating and taking fingerprints and everything. Oh, I did it. It was me.
So let's go to Boston very quickly before the top of the hour. Here are two people who were not raised well. Boston police are searching for two suspects wanted for committing an armed robbery at a lemonade stand.
Like the kids set up?
Two kids were running a lemonade stand in South Boston when at 4:45 in the afternoon on Wednesday, the, quote, unknown suspects made several passes by the stand. The suspects, described as boys roughly 14 and 11 years old, then went up to the kids and asked if Apple Pay was accepted. Before the kids could answer, the suspects grabbed a box of cash, showed a gun in his waistband, and fled. The box had $50.
So these are 14-year-olds driving cars and wielding guns.
14 and 11.
Wow. Good luck, Boston.
Yeah, no kidding. Festivus Friday is next, ladies and gentlemen. The airing of the grievances, 913-586-7798. Get in early. Sam just cleared every single line. 913-586-7798. We'll get to your grievances in just a moment here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.